the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
The film or a video based on facts can sometimes tell lies. Well, I guess that tracks. This is how we learn now, that it ain't always history. Talking documentaries, come help unpack the mystery. And now, Shelley, Lisa, and Daryl.
Guess what day it is?
It's Witchy Wednesday.
I sounded like one of those creepy, like, doll, like...
You actually like the sounded you precious.
Guess what day it is?
You sound like Carol Channing.
It came out a little Edith Bunkery.
Why don't you just shut it up over there?
Yeah.
Get to the show.
Okay. So, it is Witchy Wednesday, everyone. Thank you for coming to our podcast and listening to us. We are your witches. The good witch, Shelley Majors.
Hiddly ho.
The man witch, Daryl Brown.
How you doing?
And there is me.
Hey, you guys know the bad witch over here, don't you?
Sober.
I am your bad witch, Lisa Brown. Thank
Sober.
You so much for coming. I don't know why I say coming.
Subliminal?
Then I just said coming again, and then it just sounded dirty.
She likes to say it.
All right, they came.
You did not. You are listening to Good Witch, Bad Witch podcast. Today, we didn't start the fire, guys.
Nope.
Who did?
Nope, somebody.
Somebody did.
Not us. But we're going to talk about documentaries. And when I say we're going to talk about documentaries, the first thing we're going to talk about is, what have you guys been watching lately, documentaries-wise?
Oh,
I'm watching Dancing for the Devil. It's the 7M TikTok dance cult. Not kidding. And surprisingly, as entertaining as that sounds, because it's right up my alley, I love cults. Uh-huh. I love watching dance videos. It's actually kind of boring because people are so textbook culty now. I'm like, oh, I know what's coming. Let me guess. You're a man of God, and you're going to say that the way you bless everybody and get them into heaven is with your penis? Okay, so that happened. But there's two sisters.
St. Peter over there.
Yes, exactly. That was good, Daryl. But there are two sisters that apparently were TikTok dancing sensations, both drop dead gorgeous. And one of them joined this church that really attracted hot dancers.
How old are these sisters?
I'd say early 20s.
Okay.
Maybe. One of them gets cultified and one of them doesn't. It's three episodes. Watch it if you want to. But that's what I'm watching right now. What are you guys into?
Ooh, well, it's kind of hard because we share the same everything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to...
Separate.
The one we just watched, I'm going to use this one. I really enjoyed the Cyndi Lauper documentary.
Yeah,
it was
love
great.
Her.
And her sister is just as cool as can be. Her brother's kind of a quiet guy.
Yeah, this is on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, yeah. But learned a lot about her childhood and how abusive her family was and stuff. And her sister took her out of an abusive area and said, "You're coming with me," when she was a teenager and was one of her biggest mentors.
I think the other thing that was kind of big was that she's a lot older than you would have thought when she got discovered, she had actually, like, I thought she was, like, new on the scene. She'd been actually, like pretty much everybody else, she'd been working it for a while and
stuff.
From a teenager till when she.
And she also played a lot dumber than she is. She's freaking
oh
brilliant.
My God, yeah.
Sure.
When you know, the whole Cyndi Lauper, how you know, her voice, you know.
Yeah.
No, she seriously is probably a genius. She's very brilliant.
And she put on that persona as, I mean, the way Lady Gaga did, the way Madonna did.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a character.
A quirky gimmick.
And stuff, and it was really interesting.
Yeah.
So Lou Albano, the wrestler, is not her dad.
No.
But her mom was actually in the
videos. Actually in a few of her videos, and it's funny that you say that because her brother goes, that's what he said, and he goes, "Lou's not our dad."
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted some clarification.
That was more of her, so the guy that was in, like, the Time After Time video,
yes,
that was actually really her husband.
I thought that.
Yeah, and he was a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, he was into the whole thing.
And so he was looking for a way to promote Cyndi, so he got her on with Lou, and it's because he figured if he could get the WWE people and stuff, which, you know, it just became kind of a thing.
But oddly enough, it did. It shot her career out the roof, because then that's great. When MTV kind of even started noticing her a little bit more. Yeah. It was like, wow, look, this gal's over here doing this weird stuff.
She's so unusual.
Is she still with that guy?
No.
Oh, no.
They're still friends.
Yeah, they're still friends, and she has another husband she's been with for quite some time.
So she really did leave the little silver trailer with a little teeny tiny...
Yeah, that's what she said. It was almost like a documentary of her. She goes, I told him before. She goes, we're growing apart. I'm leaving you. And she did.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so it was a great one. So catch that one if you like music docs, and Cyndi Lauper's just a beautiful soul.
Yeah, we also just got done watching the Hulu Bon Jovi Thank You and Goodnight.
Oh,
That we thought was going to be one episode, like the Cyndi Lauper's is called Let the Canary Sing. The Bon Jovi one, we thought it would be one. It was not. It was four or five episodes. Very long episodes, but very, very well done and very entertaining.
What did you learn about Bon Jovi?
I learned that, you know, I guess that what I learned mostly with documentaries on real people is that they work harder than you give them credit for.
Yeah. Sure.
You think if they're some kind of a rock star or whatever, they just had this glamorous life, they go up there and sing, and they get laid a couple times and then go home
right.
and stuff. But it's, you know, John Bon Jovi was insane.
He's probably, I've out of all the documentaries I've ever watched, this guy is seriously the epitome of a workaholic.
Yeah.
And pretty clean cut, right? They didn't have any dirt on him, did they?
Not really.
He didn't do drugs. He drank, but he goes, yeah, I was the leader of the band. I couldn't do drugs because my voice. I needed to save my voice.
Sure.
Which, I won't be a spoiler alert, but sadly enough, in the doc, he's lost his voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and he's working. He had some vocal surgeries. He's working to try to get it back. But he still has said that if he doesn't, if he can't get it back 110%, he will never sing again.
Yeah. But the thing of it is, I mean, I always kind of took seriously, you know, John Bon Jovi as kind of a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, oh,
bubblegum.
You're kind of a girly kind of band. This documentary totally gave me a 360 loop around. I never could respect a rock star, songwriter, performer more than I do Bon Jovi.
Well, and like any good rock supergroup or whatever, you have your right hand man. And don't they? Is that the one with Richie Sambora?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a legend in his own right.
He is, but he's left the band. He did in 2013.
Okay. High and dry, he left them.
Yeah, he left them high and dry.
Like, Rich!
At a show.
At a show, like just didn't show up.
Bullshit.
And they had to like do his parts.
Fuck that noise.
But, you know, he's the co-writer of most of the songs, so he still gets paid. He gets paid just as much as they do every time they write a song or play a song.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the documentary, but he never really explains why he did what he did, other than it seemed like he was just done.
Yeah, no apologies,
no,
nothing.
They said that one of the albums they were working on, he kept not making it to the studio. So the guy in the studio that knows all the parts would play, and the guy played this one acoustic part, and it really hurt Richie Sambora's feelings. He's like, you know, that I wrote that, and this is my acoustic part, and you're having him play it, and John's like, but you're never here.
Right.
Yeah, show up.
So,
yeah.
You know, so they were getting ready to go on tour, and he's like, yeah, man, we're going to do this. They fly out. He doesn't show to the show. So, you know, John goes, you're on. To the guitar tech.
Yes.
He goes, you're on. And the guy goes, I got this.
Yeah.
And the same thing with their bass player, because their bass player got a, you know, he was a drunk and doing drugs. This and that. Then they told him, you know, this just isn't our vibe. You're not making it.
Exactly.
Well, he was pretty much just a live show guy. He never did anything in the studio anyway. Mm-hmm. So the studio bass player, John goes, can you step up now that he's in the band as the bass player?
I love
that. You know, it's good. Everybody stands up. But I think the guy, the bass player, what was his name?
Tito, Alex something.
Alex, yeah.
Yeah.
Guy, he passed away. But even he was like, you know, I knew I screwed up. I was in the best band ever.
Right.
You know, and he got inducted to the Hall of Fame and everything. And he was pretty cool about it.
They all showed up to the Hall of Fame, which was cool.
But Richie Sambora still has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder about everything. And, well, you know, I just didn't like what the direction they were going. This, and like, no, you didn't like the fact that you could make it to help them get to where they wanted to go.
When they did ask John, they said, when did you realize that Richie was completely out of the band. He goes, I still don't realize it. I still think he's going to walk in every single day. He's like, I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's the thing. John Bon Jovi doesn't hold any animosity towards anybody.
Uh-uh. He seems like such a sweetheart.
Yeah, I think one of the trailers said something about, like, well, I'm human, I messed up too, or something, which made it allude to the fact that he cheated on his wife.
Right.
Because he's been with her since he was in high school.
Yeah.
And they never said anything about that.
Yeah, they didn't
that.
Say anything in that.
So
yeah.
whatever the trailer was, it was about something totally different, because him and his wife have always been...
They were just trying to hook you.
Yeah. But it was one part that really, really got me. I mean, they toured for almost 2 years straight.
Damn, that's
and,
too much.
I mean, John would be like... They would play a show and he'd be writing a song. Okay, this is going to be, we're going to do this. I mean, he constantly worked. So after 2 years on the road, they get done. Everybody goes, we just want to go home. We don't even want to see each other. I just want to do this. So him and Dorothea, that's his wife, they get on his Harley. They pack up a bunch of stuff. Boom, we're just taking off.
Yeah.
We're taking off. And one of the things on their trip was, we will stay at no motel that's more than $30.
I love it.
Yeah, so they just did like a total they stayed white in trash.
Total dive places on the side of the road, and she was really cool about it. She goes, you know, but it was quite the experience. You know, well, okay, we're staying here. You know, and you walk in like, well, we have cockroaches for it. You know?
Yeah. But it doesn't matter where you go, it's who you're with. Yeah,
no, exactly. And doesn't matter how much money you got.
Do they have kids? They're both so beautiful.
Four.
Yeah, they have to get a few.
They have a grip of kids.
Yeah. Okay, I love that. I love that
little
expression.
Little Jovies running around.
You know, when we watch the Oscars all the time. Uh-huh. We used to watch the Oscars, A, because movies used to be good, and also we'd always wanted to see what everybody was wearing, or maybe the host used to be funny and stuff in Billy Crystal times or whatever. I'm so old. In any case, you know, usually with the best documentary category, they would do it off campus or someplace else. Nobody ever watched that shit.
Yeah.
And here we are. We watch documentaries all the fucking time. Mm-hmm.
It's not like watching the
rise and fall of Italy.
Right.
The ones we had to watch in high school or something.
Yeah, it's not the National Geographic documentaries anymore.
No, they're interesting.
Yeah.
But I think what started the whole celebrity one, which probably hooked us into it, is Behind the Music.
I have that too. Yeah. Got us into it was Behind the Music.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah, because, well, and the whole thing, and we can get to it in the meat. We can do the Webster's definition or whatever. But isn't that funny that was our induction to it? Because... it was shocking at the time.
Yeah.
You're like, I had no idea that was really going on. That's insane. Like the dirt or whatever.
Yeah.
Cuckoo Pants.
The other thing that we did watch Bratz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which is Andrew McCarthy's documentary about the Brat Pack, which is the 1980s, mid-80s movies that were all teen angst. Pretty in Pink, St. Elmo's Fyro, John Hughes movies.
John Hughes movies, Breakfast Club.
The thing I found most interesting about it was when he was asking the people that he interviewed who was the Brat Pack. And they all kind of came up with different, they're like, well, just the people in St. Elmo's Fyro. That's what Demi Moore said.
Oh.
And Andrew McCarthy was like, well, what about Molly Ringwald? Mm-hmm. She's in the Brat Pack. And Demi's like, really? And stuff. And then
yes, she did. She goes,
Emilio Estevez was like, well, and of course, John Cryer. And then John Cryer was like, I was definitely not in the Brat Pack.
Because I wanted to be a Brat Packer, but I never was invited.
Cool enough. I wasn't old enough.
Right.
He's like, everybody was way too cool for me. I wish I was, but I wasn't. So that was an interesting part. Daryl asked me what I thought of it. And I told him that if I had one word to describe it, it would be wah and stuff, because I thought Andrew McCarthy was a fucking crybaby.
Sure.
And
he played his part through all his movies too.
Yeah. This is my thought on that whole thing. And I mean, again, we don't have to tell you everything about the whole goddamn documentary, but we're going to. He blamed all of his failures on the fact that he was a Brat Packer.
Well, that seems easy.
And I'm like, but the thing of it is, it gave you more notoriety than if you wouldn't have been considered a Brat Packer.
The thing is that Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, John Cryer, Emilio Estevez all have talent.
Yeah.
And they all went on to do other stuff. I'm sorry, Andrew, that you're a one-trick pony.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry that Blaine is your only character you've played in every single goddamn movie. James Spader, look at how amazing he is.
Uh-huh. And he was a Blaine, too.
He was, yeah. Yes. He was. They were, because they're good actors, yes. They didn't have to use that as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And like Rob Lowe said, he's like, I didn't care. I thought it was great.
No, he goes, I embrace it. Yeah, you helped me out.
Yeah.
So you didn't have the good, Sonny.
Right. So I thought he was being a big whiny wham wham boo boo.
It was kind of funny when he did go see Emilio Estevez and they were talking. I told Lisa, I go, I don't know if you just noticed, but I don't know if like Emilio looks over at his wife or maybe one of his agents or stuff, but at one point he looked like, why the fuck am I doing this?
Or I'm going to punch him in the face.
Yeah,
wow.
He was, just he's irritated. Over here, wham wham wham. And he did. He just looks off camera like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and
why
then,
are you bothering
well,
me?
He goes, well, we had a chance to do a movie together, this and that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I didn't want, you know, it felt like we were riding each other's coattails and we were working off, you know, actually what he meant to say, you're riding my coattails and I didn't want to co-star with you again. That's pretty much what he wanted to say.
Uh-huh,
it was pretty badass. And I'm like, I go, oh, yeah, give it to him.
So, yeah, not the best made documentary, but
it's worth watching.
It's worth watching.
Right.
Yeah, it's not too long.
If you're a fan of all those movies, you get to see some old.
A lot of old clips.
Oddly enough, I think he's going to come out with a part two because he ends it with, he gets a phone call from
Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then they showed, we were watching Entertainment Tonight or something, and they were doing an interview with him. And then he said, yeah, it was really cool. We stayed on the phone for about an hour and I was talking to Judd, blah, blah. I'm like, I think there's going to be another part of this.
Possibly.
Or Judd might smell a fart and be like, I don't want to come anywhere near this thing.
Yeah.
He'll talk to Emilio. Emilio goes, I had him in my house for 5 minutes. I wanted him the fuck out.
Yeah. Just really fast, the other one that we have, we did watch, I didn't write it down, so that's why I'm going, The Project, which is about, you might like it, it's about cults, it's on Netflix. It was fine. And then we watched we watched half of Quiet on the Set. Can't seem to get through that.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
I've been listening to it on the TCO Patreon and stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, because it's kids. Even, well, there's that, but it's also a little boring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
They took a 5-hour thing, something that should have been a 2-episode deal and made it into 5.
Yes. So we're about halfway through it. I'd like to finish it because I'm a finisher.
Yeah,
and you are stuff. A finisher. I'm not a quitter. But
she's no lady frog yet. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what we're watching right now. We're going to come back in the meet and talk about different kinds of documentaries and ones that we suggest and absolutely suggest that you avoid. But we'll see you in a minute.
1 minute. Stop the fire. It's always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show about documentaries. It has really become such a part of the TV landscape anymore, and that primarily almost everything I watch. Every once in a while we'll do something with fiction, and then we think it's real, but it isn't. So this is where the Webster's Dictionary says, but just to clarify, a documentary is a movie, TV, or a podcast or radio show that provides a factual record or report. It generally uses pictures, videos, and interviews from people involved in real events. And we were talking about behind the music earlier, which actually made it interesting. And it seemed like, I think the main deal is that it's expository, like it exposes things that you didn't know or, you know, or makes... It personifies a famous person. You know, it's just like, oh, well, you shit too.
And yeah, it makes them human.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It gives them some humanity. But like we were talking about during the Oscars and stuff, nobody watches all the educational boring ones. But one of them that I thought was interesting and disgusting, and I think that that started a trend too, was Super Size Me. So that was early back in the thing. And one of them that... I think a lot of people watched and definitely exposed a lot of McDonald's shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which, who among us didn't know that it was bad for you? I mean, who's going to eat it 3 meals a day for 30 days? That was just a terrible, really a thing.
Yeah.
That guy just passed away a couple months ago.
Was it Michael Moore that did that? Or who? Or the guy that did Super Size was different?
It was the different guys, the guy who actually ate
the food. Ate
the food,
yeah. Oh. He just passed away, I think,
high cholesterol.
A couple months ago, yeah. He goes, I switched over to Subway, but it didn't help.
He was jogging.
Glug.
Yeah, glug. Seriously. But, I think that kind of really got the... oh, what is it, like sensationalized documentary started.
Well, because it wasn't your norm. Need. It was something, yeah, like, okay, I'm not having to learn about how deer's run it. Yeah, like, wait, what the hell? This guy's going to eat McDonald's? I'm going to watch this.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, caught your fancy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But or the and the also, you guys.
It's the air today. Lisa has had the...
I love y'all.
You do.
That's my
life. Like, totally, like, busted in on your conversation nothing. For nothing.
We are all smarter for not listening.
I see you. I hear you.
It's all good, honey. But but no, like you said, it was something different. It kind of gave you a different edge. Because like you said, when we were growing up on docs were stupid shit that we had to watch in college. I never went to college. What am I saying? In high school. But stuff like that. But me, how I kind of got into documentaries kind of was out of high school type of things, because I became infatuated with Hitler.
Yeah.
And I mean, the original biggest serial killer in the world.
I was going to say the original Hitler.
Yeah.
The OG.
The OG Hitler.
Real Hitler.
Hitler on Ice was nothing compared to No, but I mean, just, I would sit there and watch. I mean, because I'm like, what really drove this guy?
Right.
And sadly enough, it was just his own, the old Napoleon type thing. He was an artist, so he dropped out of school at 16.
Uh huh.
Went to Vienna. Uh-huh. To get into this elite art school.
Right.
Tried three different times. They turned him down three different times. Why do you think he had a thing against Italy? But you know, the guy was an idiot.
Yeah.
Just a complete idiot. Narcissistic.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can do this. I am the best at this. I am the best at this. Kind of sounds like a different time's coming around, but you know, I am the greatest at this. But no, I just remember I wanted to know what the hell's, what drove this person to become this. Yeah. And it was so, even, you know, this was when I was younger, then even when me and Lisa hooked up, if something new came out, I'd have to watch it. But my mother at one time goes, this is kind of freaking me out, you know?
Yeah.
Again, we talked about on the last episode or whatever, you get enthralled with people that are like the total opposite of you.
Right.
And stuff. So I don't think you're anything like Hitler.
No, thank you.
Except for maybe the mustache and stuff. But, yeah. And what the makes short them tick. Thing.
Yeah.
But
and
yeah.
And when you started watching them, there was probably three channels also. No,
well, I think maybe even a couple of video stores they didn't have much on it, you know. So, right. But like like you say, was what's the channel 12? What was the one?
Yeah. 12 or with 6?
Yeah,
Teletons.
You know, they would have something, and I'd be watching. My mom goes, I don't understand. I go, I'm just curious. I'm trying to learn something here, something right. that I didn't learn in school because they only gave you so much information. But just that's where docs came into, and then like you said. Becoming evolving to different stuff, but we just said the
yep, I gave it to you.
the brain farts, the VH1 stuff, behind the music. So, yeah. Then you start learning, then it's like, wow, this is sorry, Hitler. I gotta watch some of this stuff because you learn all that kind of stuff, but
they're not, they're a lot more, they have more talent than Hitler did,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and they got into
they could carry
they got into the Julia Arts School,
they
stuff.
Did, they got into the arts,
and that's all that counts. But don't you think that, like, with when we were, let's say, 12, 13, 14 years old, and Datelines started coming out?
Oh, yeah,
it was at the time presented to us on regular network television as. It was like news, but sensationalized. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it counted to me as episodic documentaries because, well, not episodic because it was one crime at a time. But, there would be interviews with the family, perhaps the criminal or perpetrator or whatever. But we didn't think of those as documentaries when we were kids.
No, you get to know them.
But they kind of were. They were mini docs because, spent an hour and you're like,
It's like an expose. But where I think the danger comes, and there's some of this coming in later, is, and we'll get to it, but is that you can't think of it as news. Because it is still kind of a mini movie where you talk to people about what happened, eyewitnesses, whatever, and they can be totally spun to suit their agenda or purposes. The filmmaker, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. One way or another. Just look at it. And I mean, again, maybe we'll get into this a little bit later, but look at that documentary about again, I'm having a brain fart, but the guy, it was a couple different ones. The guy that supposedly killed the girl, and then he went to jail. Making of a Murderer.
Yes.
And yeah, stuff. And,
oh, yeah. Right?
No, that's Serial.
One. Sorry.
Making of a Murderer, where you have... mostly the documentarist is the whole time trying to prove him not guilty,
right?
Where you get the whole everybody behind going not guilty when the facts still remain that he probably was.
And that was the realtor lady, right?
Yes. No, yeah. She was she took pictures from the cars. Auto Trader.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, Auto Trader. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but, you know, whatever. There's, I mean, both sides can be, but, yeah, you're but right. They didn't show both sides.
He was rooting to show the guy was innocent.
Exactly. You know, everybody thinking, 24 episodes.
Exactly.
This guy, he's right. He didn't burn her up in that car. Right. This guy, you know, so he wasn't even around.
To do with the filmmaker, the documentary maker, where they're kind of sitting. You know, I mean, look at, if it wasn't for, the documentaries on the West Memphis 3, West of Memphis, or whatever, they would have never gotten the attention of the big people, Eddie Vedder, and...
I'll say you guys...
all the people that ended up helping getting them out, you know? Right. So, you know, and thank God they had somebody who was on their side of the coin.
Totally.
So. Yeah.
I guess I just wanted to clarify to people, because I, at the beginning, almost thought, because it was presented to us as news... when we were kids, the Dateline shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything against Dateline.
No.
But it's just because it represents facts, it doesn't mean that it is factual.
Right.
Exactly. And
or that they're showing both sides of the facts.
Yeah.
Most likely not.
Yes, most of the facts, they just aren't showing every single thing.
Right.
Especially
don't use it as your news source.
Episode. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So, that being said, did you remember seeing any documentaries in theaters?
Val, with you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
The Val Kilmer. Yes.
Yes, but I don't remember any others. Do you?
The only one that I remember, but I don't remember the name of it, and then I started second-guessing if I was in a theater or not, was one with Dave Chappelle where he did a concert. Did we see that in a theater?
No.
We didn't?
No, we saw it in our living room.
Did we see the trailer for it in a theater?
We probably did see the trailer for it. Yeah,
that would make some sense.
No. I think he did have a movie show going on, but we didn't go to it, okay. No.
Yeah, but I can't think of any other documentary. I
was racking my brain because, the Val was the only one, and I'm like, but was American History X almost like a documentary?
Too scary. Too scary.
That was a crazy
show.
Hitler
stuff.
Ooh. No, it wasn't Hitler stuff. It was just Malcolm? Wacky white supremacist stuff. Yeah,
the only one I can think of seeing in a theater was Val.
Yeah.
That's because I didn't think too much. I only thought about it for about 20 minutes.
Hold on. You went and seen the Michael Jackson one.
That is true.
And I think that's the biggest selling one ever.
You've seen the Michael Jackson one.
What was that called? Michael Jackson.
It's like There It Is or something.
Last Dance with Mary Jane. No.
It was so good, you guys. I mean, like, I'm not even a Michael Jackson fan.
Uh-huh.
I bawled through that thing. Like, we were besties. And, I wasn't even sad for Michael. I was sad for his crew.
Yeah.
Because they worked so...
All the people that worked around him. This is it.
It was going to be this amazing tour. They did so much. They were just on the cusp and he died. Mm-hmm. And it was like the backup dancers and the background singers and all the... It was going to be freaking...
Oh,
it'd
have been phenomenal to see,
I'm not a huge Michael Jackson fan, and after I saw that, I'm like, I mean, my shirt was wet.
Did you go with your mom? Who'd you go with?
I went with my mom and my sister.
That's right, yeah. Okay, see, there.
Okay, I pay attention to my wife's life. You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, jealous.
Were you, I guess you guys were together when he died, right?
Yeah.
For quite a while.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
What was the saddest one you ever saw?
So, probably two different ones. It was a Dateline, but it was the Josh Powell documentary.
Susan Powell's
Susan
husband?
Powell,
oh, my God.
I guess I should say her, not him, because he doesn't deserve to be named.
No.
And he ended up, they think he killed her. That was never proved. But then he ended up killing himself and his two sons in a fire in their house. And, it was horrible.
That was a nightmare. That poor woman.
Also, Dear Zachary.
That's what I had.
Was the saddest one
Tell
ever.
The story.
So, it was this gentleman was dating this girl. I think she was a lot older than him, if memory serves. And it was just kind of a one-night standy kind of thing, and she was kind of weird and whatever, blah, blah. And so he broke up with her, and then she's like, I'm pregnant. And Stephanie's like, shit. And so then they had the baby, and he ended up killing... Nope. She killed him.
Yes.
The gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And was on trial for that. So the grandparents of the gentleman, whose name I can't remember... got custody of Zachary because mm-hmm. the mom was on trial and going to go to jail. It was in Canada. And I don't remember exactly, for some reason, she got off. Anyways, while they were documenting all the stuff, this guy was making a documentary called Dear Zachary, because Zachary was a little boy, and he was going to document the whole thing so that he could get to know his dad better.
Yes.
And in the midst of the whole thing, the mom gets off, like, on bail.
Yeah.
And she goes and takes, they let her to have a night, an overnight with Zachary, and she kills herself and the little baby.
She like jumped off a pier or something.
Yeah,
yes.
And had him strapped to her and drowned them both.
Oh my God. And it was a nightmare.
Yeah. It was all documented and it mm-hmm. was horrible. And it was, and those grandparents, I mean, that they had to give that, you know, that baby over while she was on bail. And then
yeah.
the documentary, who was the best friend of Zachary's dad and stuff. It was, oh my God.
It was so heartbreaking. I can't even, no. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the hardest one I've ever had there. What about you, Daryl?
We jumped ahead, but anyway, the saddest one, like we talked about it in our last episode with our little gal, the JonBenet stuff. Anytime you hear that, you just don't like to see anything happen to a child in that sense.
Yeah.
But the Chris Watts ones, that's a heartbreaking one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole situation was just a bad, bad situation. And take yourself out. Don't take your wife out, and don't take your innocent kids out, or, you know, just walk outside and walk away from the situation.
Right. Exactly. You Anything know. Would have been better. There's 8 million other people get divorced all the time.
Yeah, child support sucks.
Sure.
But it's better than
people
jail.
Do it.
It's better than, you know, now where is he at? He's sitting in prison where he had a very cushy, nice job. He had a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would still remain to have a nice job and a nice house if he wouldn't have done what he did.
Right.
But and I hope you burn in hell.
Yeah, me too.
For sure. Oh, those kids were so sweet.
Did you guys have a most memorable documentary that you've...
My most memorable is The Vow. I thought that shit was crazy.
I've never seen that.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And it was one of those that I'd been hearing about and wanting to see so badly, just because I'm such a cult freak anyway. Mm-hmm. And they did, when everything was coming out, when Keith, whatever stupid face is, was on trial... I think Hulu did it, Netflix, it was everywhere, and then so many different witnesses and people that were in it. Who's that princess, Catherine, whatever the fuck?
Yeah.
Her daughter
Catherine
was in
what
it.
What the fuck?
Exactly. Her daughter, Indigo, or whatever, was in it. And so it was, one of the documentaries was her journey of getting her daughter out of it, but all the crazy things they did in this cult, I was just fascinated by it. And I bought all the streaming services for that documentary.
Wow.
Yeah,
I need like, to see I have each one of these.
It blew my mind. It blew my doors off.
Which service did it justice?
I think Netflix was my favorite.
Netflix gets it. They are pretty darn good.
I think that you should join a cult so we can do a show on it.
Just bored with them now. They're all so textbook.
Go underground. We'll be like, we're sending the good witch underground.
See if they do what everybody does.
What they do is they poach lonely, isolated, poor college students, in a lot of them, and then just, you know, tell them that they're God and have sex with
them. Where is the one with the poor 50-somethings?
Educated.
I just want some guy who thinks he's God to have sex with me.
Oh, okay.
We'll have Shelly in there. Okay, guys, I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay. They're about to serve some dinner, but I don't know.
We're not their target audience. We might be a little smarter, all I'm saying.
All right. Yeah, there's that.
My most memorable, and this is just only because you're going to make a documentary about this, but Class Action Park.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow, that was crazy.
That's on my most shocking.
Yeah, I yeah. never saw it. Should I see
oh,
it?
My
yes, it's
God,
so
like,
good.
It sounds so gross. Do they show like the wet band-aids and the big white pool and all that?
They show people going to medic and stuff like that. But yeah,
but it's a lot of cartoons and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, there's some real stuff, but it's mostly cartoon-age.
But I'm like, okay, great. Why didn't I get to go to this park just once?
Yeah.
Well, and I think I would dig it because there's no violence, rape, anything else. It's mostly just like complete negligence.
Yeah, and it's almost funny.
Well,
yeah.
The funny thing is, you know, that when Ricky Rackman used to have that one special, he went to the park with Alice in Chains.
No.
Yes. They were in a lot of it.
That's awesome. That's a great one.
Mine was the most memorable, you guys. Tiger King.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
for sure.
Son's a bitch.
Top 10.
Yeah. No,
I mean.
Thank God for coronavirus. Yeah. COVID, yeah.
Well, talk about bringing a nation together, international.
No doubt.
It was so good. Like, I could watch that again. It's just like one of those where you're like, yep. Come on.
Constant train wreck.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yes. And then also one that just stuck in my head and I can't stop thinking about it, not because it was the best made. It was probably pretty well made, but just because of the ginormancy of it, I guess, which is a really weird word, but 11 minutes about the Vegas shooting.
Oh, shit. I forgot how
that one was hard to watch. Yeah, that was...
But it's so interesting and very interesting about how people came together.
Yeah.
And to help each other out and then to revisit each other, or that they like pulled one or the other out of the
or people jumping on top of people and just
seeing each other at the hospital.
Yeah.
Each other to the hospital because the ambulances were full and there were so many hospitals that were if you haven't heard our Slave to the Grind episode with Corinna Goodgaudis, it's spectacular.
In depth.
Yep, our Vegas nurse. Can I go back to Tiger King just for
Please.
A second? To me, it's kind of like, it really takes me back even thinking of it to that time and place that was so insane anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, where were you when JFK was shot? Where were you when the Challenger blew up? Where I was when I watched The Tiger King, because I didn't have Netflix and I was living with my parents and working at Blake Street during COVID. And so somebody had a Netflix account and we were watching it in this cavernous, enormous restaurant where the phone isn't ringing. Nobody can come and eat. We're just a bunch of restaurant workers watching The Tiger King together
and just
sanitizing the remote control every once in a while. And looking at each other like, is this fucking happening? Because our world we were in was so insane and cuckoo.
Yeah.
And we're watching something cuckoo.
Why aren't they recording us?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we're making great chicken dinners to send out, but we're not going to eat.
Exactly. And every episode you're like, no, it cannot get any weirder.
And you like couldn't stop watching it, but you kind of wanted to because you needed to like savor it.
Yes.
And I couldn't wait to watch the next one. It was like, okay, we can't do another one because I need something tomorrow because we don't know how long COVID's going to last.
Yes, we got to save the goods.
Are we going to be able to go out tomorrow? No, but Lion King will be right there for us. Lion King. Well, it could have been there for us as well. You know,
maybe.
If you were wholesome people, you'd watch that.
You'd watch The Lion King if you liked Disney.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's the whole point, kids. We didn't know when it was going to be over.
Yeah.
So what do we get? Most shocking?
Most shocking.
Here's mine. Do you, at least I think you watched that. I don't know if you did, Daryl, but it was called Tell Me Who I Am.
Oh.
It was about two twin brothers, and you told me about it, Lisa, and then I watched it. But one of them gets into a motorcycle accident when he's 18 and loses his memory. And he is having his brother, through photographs and whatever, tell him who he is. He's just like, tell me about my history, et cetera, et cetera. And the brother is showing him all of these vacation photos and all this wonderful childhood they had together and all of this stuff, and omitting the fact that their own mother sex trafficked them.
What the fuck?
She sold them to other people.
And like, this guy's, no, I don't want that back in here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, no, tell me who I am. And I can't even remember how that gets explained to him through his brain trauma. But it was, to me, that was so shocking, I couldn't even believe it. And almost every one that we've mentioned today are all shocking, where people do things to their own children.
Yeah.
We'll never understand it.
Yeah.
We'll never ever understand
it. I guess that's what makes it so horrific and
exactly.
shocking.
And why the story needs to be told.
Mine, on the other hand, is mostly shocking because I just watched it with my mouth agape the whole time. Was called Woodstock 99 Train Wreck.
Trainwreck is right. That was disgusting.
Oh my God. I wish I could watch it again with Lisa.
It grossed me out so bad that I can't. Like, I have said this in the past. If God came down in his glory and was like, oh, and got right in front of me and was like, Lisa, you have been a very, very bad person for the rest, for all of your life. You did really, really horrible things. I'm going to make you go to hell. Chick, and then he closes his eyes like Genie. And stuff. I would end up at Woodstock 99.
I believe all of that.
That is my
caca,
hell.
Caca. These guys are diving in what they thought was mud. No, it was full poopy. Feces.
It was, I hate being hungry, and I hate being thirsty, and I hate being dirty, and I hate loud music.
Yes.
And I hate Limp Bizkit, and yes. I hate crowds, and I hate it all. And yes. I would
That's her perfect hell.
And it was
hell.
Just filled and with the rapists and angry.
So, I hate sun.
Imagine the sun beating down on that. The on smells the poop. Around.
I hate smell. My God. No.
Is that Toasty Cripsy's poop smell?
Whilst you are watching it, you can feel it. You yes. can no, smell it.
Yes. I kid you not, guys.
You can taste it.
When I watched this one with her, she didn't move. She just sat there and looked at the TV like,
it's a nightmare.
And I was kind of laughing. I'm like, these idiots. And she's like, huh.
I hate fire. I hate she people moans. Putting their fingers in the hoo-ha.
You hate Jewel?
I like Jewel. hate Sheryl Crow, who was there.
Okay.
So
didn't she sing that song? All I want to do is swim in poo.
Yes, did. That's what she sings.
There was only three female artists, and again, I hate that.
Yeah,
so, Alanis Morissette,
and Biscuit, uh-huh. and all that. Mm-hmm. It's bad.
It's just
bad.
One of those days when you want to bake some poop.
We don't want to be there.
Nope. No.
So that's your hell.
That's shocking. God. And I had class Action Park.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
My most shocking one, and Lisa will contest to this. This was the hardest. I've gotten through shows. This was the hardest. Documentary I ever had to watch was The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez.
Tell us about it.
It
still hurts me to think, but these people just abused this little boy so bad, and they had like a cabinet, and it was a cage, but they made cabinet. They would keep him in there. No. And they would beat him, and they would do just some.
And they had other kids.
And the other kids would watch this.
The other kids were fine with, but for some reason they didn't like him.
What the hell?
And they wouldn't feed him, and they'd send him to school, and he would be beat up and skinny, and the teacher would be like, "Are you?" And he'd be like, "Oh, I fell. This and that." I mean, the kid, he was such a sweetheart of a kid. I mean, he didn't want to rat on them.
Yeah.
And he would know what he was coming. But
I just wanted to steal that baby. And take him.
This one's, it's getting me now.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I could watch it. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was
hard. It took us, it was only like, what, maybe a five part. It took us a full month before I could finish it. I'd be like, shut it off. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did those parents go to jail forever, I hope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God.
It was a stepfather.
It was the real mom and the stepfather.
And it wasn't even, he wasn't even married. I think he was just her boyfriend. He just had a vengeance. He was nice to the other kids, but just wanted to pick on this one poor, beautiful kid.
Yeah.
And he ended up dying.
Yeah.
And that's the 911 got called and stuff, and that's when they figured out what was going on in the house, and they found the cage that they kept him in and stuff.
No.
I mean, the one thing they said was, "What a child protective care, whatever." They're like, "Yeah, we totally dropped the ball on this one because they would go and visit the household, and it looked normal to them. Oh yeah, everything's fine." And I think they should be just accountable as anybody.
Yeah.
How does it get that far?
Yeah.
Like those Turpin kids, girl that escaped and stuff, no education, no nothing. And it's like, why are you having all these kids if you hate children?
Yeah. Right.
I'll never understand.
That's what I told Lisa, his caseworker, she should be freaking hung.
And I've seen so many documentaries, and especially true crime, I can't remember, but if memory serves, I think that the caseworkers were on trial.
Yeah, they were on trial too. Yeah.
So,
but that, yeah.
Yeah. So what genre do you... you usually watch as far as documentaries?
Yeah, I'd say true crime probably is the most, but
we have exactly the same true crime or musical.
I didn't say musical. Music.
You said music,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do love a good cult, though.
You are so much more into cults than I am.
We're going to be taking up a fun thing. We're going to send Shelly to a cult.
I just think that we should send Shelly to like a totally different cult.
We just,
yeah, I just need not the norm. She needs
a. You should go to a musical cult. The Inquisition. What a show.
Like they say, nobody ever joins a cult. You know, it's just like, oh, I'm looking for spiritual guidance or whatever.
That's what would be the best part
I
of it.
Know.
Hey, make it a cult. Who'd like to join?
Feeling kind of lonely. Who wants to join me?
Join the cult.
They just don't show you the red flags up front. Like, hey, we're right. A church, but we're I'm also always... your dance manager.
Hey, do you like Kool-Aid?
Oh, no.
I just think that if you're up front with people and you don't lie,
yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. It'll be great. Great. This is, oh God, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Guyana? Hop on my jet. Let's go.
God, that's funny. Back in the day, Adam Sandler did a skit and he goes, tells his buddy, he goes, hey, I'm joining a cult and you're coming with me. The guy goes, I don't want to join a cult. He goes, you're joining a cult. It's going to be fun. And they're all, the nighttime is the right time. The nighttime is right time. He goes,
you
hey,
gotta
bud.
Have the right attitude.
He goes, hey, buddy, isn't this fun? His friend goes,
Nope. As it turns out, it isn't at all.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Have you guys ever watched a documentary that has changed your mind about the case?
Yes.
Yeah, you go first, Daryl.
This is probably going to come as a surprise. My wife might have the same one. I don't think Scott Peterson killed his wife.
Me neither. That's what I have too.
It looks really bad for that guy. I think that maybe they didn't have enough evidence to convict, but there's some super shady shit there.
There's a lot of weird stuff. And you know, people go, well, he packed up his hair. All this
dyed
money.
His hair, all the
you know
money.
What?
Went golfing.
A guilty man, an innocent man is like, I am going to be hung for this. I need, you know, what am I going to do?
I'm out.
Yeah.
This must have been a very powerful documentary. I did watch a
I don't even know if it was a documentary or a really long Dateline on Scott Peterson, but I do have to preface that with saying, if you want a breakdown and really, really intelligent and but also easy to follow facts about it, listen to Robbie and Ellen Solve the Case. It's their first ever episode about Scott Peterson.
Okay.
It is so interesting. And I would like to have you do that. I'm going to challenge you to do that.
That's okay. Your homework.
And then tell me what you think after
well,
you
and the funny thing is, you know, now they even have more evidence because they found that the van that they had said that years ago that they was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They found it. It was a burned up van. On the seats, they said that took them out. There's blood stains on the seats and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting to hear more of that to come out.
Yeah, because they're going to do touch DNA on that.
Yeah.
And stuff and all that stuff on it. So.
But somebody said, yeah, there was a strange van in the neighborhood. This and that. And,
yeah.
You know, and she was out walking. The neighbor said, yeah, we've seen her out walking the dog.
And they left a lot of stuff out of the trial mm-hmm. of Scott Peterson because he was convicted in the court of public opinion
right.
yeah.
before he was convicted in court. So because he's a sick fuck.
Yeah, he's a slime bag.
He's a slime sure. bag. Well, yeah, and he's a douche.
Once again, yeah. It's one of those ones, dude. If you're not happily married, get divorced.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
Exactly.
He cheated on his wife and he sucks as a husband.
Yeah.
But.
Doesn't make him a murderer necessarily.
No, and there's so much stuff that that they threw out of the case. I mean, they even took all of the jurors to show them that there's no way that he could have dumped her body because the boat that he had
wouldn't
support
that much.
Two people.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
And
yeah.
stuff. And
they
so
said
they
she
took
was sandbagged
them all there.
And everything. Yeah.
yeah. And they took them all there and showed them in the water, but then they had to throw it out and I can't remember why.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then they were like, they had to say, okay, well, that whole thing that we took you out to the water and stuff,
right.
pretend like you never saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you didn't see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Act like you never seen that.
I'll be open-minded. I'll give it a whirl.
Sounds
but good. I remember long before any documentaries came out and before people were doing that and that case was happening, you said very, very wisely, you and what's the guy who played Han Solo?
Harrison Ford.
In Presumed Innocent. It's like, I may be a bad husband. Doesn't make me a murderer.
Right.
And you said that about Scott and that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You were first to have that opinion.
She's always first at something like that.
She's so smart.
She's my true crime gal.
my thoughts, but I can remember stuff like that.
Jake Gyllenhaal is doing a new Presumed Innocent, and I really want to see it.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Do you guys have a guilty pleasure documentary that you either watched or you watch over and over, or that you, and you're kind of a little bit embarrassed that you watched it, but you did it anyway?
I do, but I want to go back to the Change Your Mind thing.
So sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, that's okay. Frog jumper?
Yeah. No, Lisa also got me onto this one, but it was I Love You, Now Die. And I thought it was so well done. It was years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was that young girl from Plainville, and they did a dramatic reenactment, like a fake one, with one of the, I don't know, whatever, one of those famous sisters. There's Dakota, Elf, whatever, all mm-hmm. of those guys. Anyway, she was the girl who had a, I'm using air quotes here, boyfriend that wanted to commit suicide.
And she was
texting him, you know, and basically at the end, she was like, fine, do it, whatever. Don't turn off the car. Put the carbon monoxide hose in there.
She was like aiding and abetting. Here's what you do. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. And it was such a crazy case. So they start out the first half of the documentary with how cuckoo this girl is, and she didn't even really know that guy, and then she thought that they had this weird crazy romance that they didn't, and you know, she wanted things from his room after he died, and you know, the mm-hmm. thought she was close with the family. Her mom's like, who the fuck are you? And anyway, but they went through thousands and thousands and thousands of texts, and they had this crazy weird text relationship. And he was depressed and suicidal for whatever reasons that are unknown to us. And she, at the end, was encouraging it. She's probably mm-hmm. like, shut up and do it then.
Yeah.
Man up if you really want to kill yourself. Yeah.
And then, and I thought this was so brilliant, and I might have gotten Netflix at the other house because of this, because you told me how good it was. The second half is, I think the boy's name was Connor, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Is his story.
Conrad.
Yeah, because yes.
I was like, God, I'd kill myself if my name was Conrad.
There's nothing wrong with Conrad.
Just kidding.
But and then it shows mental illness and struggles and all these things that really have nothing to do with her. And I don't know. I thought it was a really cool way to present it, mm-hmm. And especially to give credit and respect to someone who can't speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he was kind of, I was like, yeah, that would get on my nerves too. I don't think, they only show you what they show you, right?
Well,
we never know what's behind
and
the curtain.
And also, you have to remember that this is a child.
Yes.
Okay, she was a teenager, but she's still a child.
Yes.
And some of the things that you do when you're 15, 16, 17 wouldn't be stuff that your brain's not fixed yet.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, maybe she was just done with his, you know, talking.
Right.
You know, I know, but she's not a therapist. You haven't gone through it. She doesn't really know what to do. So, yeah, I mean, it's a slippery slope. It's
a lot of gray area.
Yeah.
And groundbreaking because it's like, can we even charge her with anything?
Right.
And I think they ended up doing that, like, accessory to whatever.
Yeah.
But, and she only did about a year, I think. Mm-hmm. But God, I just thought that was fascinating. And that was so great. But it did change my mind because the first hour of it that I'm watching it, you know, I'm like, well, this chick is obviously crazy, this, that, and whatever. And then when they showed the second half, I'm like, yeah, like you said, two sides is awesome. Waco totally changed my mind. When that
happened.
You didn't
think David Koresh was crazy?
No, I knew he was crazy. I didn't know how much.
Jesus.
But just how badly it was mishandled by the government.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how much I love America and I'm patriotic and this and that or whatever.
No, that one was shitty. That was a total flub right there.
And it wasn't just like, oops, I accidentally squeezed a trigger and then there was this chain reaction. It went on bad decisions for weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so many women and children were killed and, you know, in the name of religious freedom.
Yeah.
And I get it, you know, they were heavily armed and all this other stuff. I don't see anywhere that they were a threat to anybody but themselves.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know. So anyway, the documentary kind of changed my mind, and I've seen several of them, and they all kind of jive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was one of them. And then we can go back to the guilty pleasure thing because this is both.
Okay.
Are you guys ready for guilty pleasure?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it also changed my mind. Depp versus Heard.
Oh.
So Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, when that whole thing was going on, we covered it here first on the show. We're first on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so blatantly a character attack on her. you know, because everybody loves Johnny Depp, right. yada, yada. And it turns out they're both nuts. Best.
Yeah.
It turns out they're both.
No,
so it was a guilty trip pleasure. It was a train walk. Both terrible.
They deserved each other. Yes. It's the best thing. But yeah, mine are what do they call it when it's not really the documentary, but it's a mockumentary or movie.
Like
Pam and Tommy.
They acted out.
They acted out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love those ones. Those make
yes. like There's Something About Pam or whatever.
Or Girl from Plainville. It's a dramatic reenactment.
Yeah, and what's her name? The little gal that just got out of prison that killed her mom.
Oh, Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose. Those are the ones I like. Those ones. I mean, I love real documentaries. That I am enthralled. But these ones they're your guilty pleasure. Like kind of this is fun fun to mess around with. But
you have the lights off and popcorn and stuff and hoping nobody knows what you're doing. The Gypsy Lee one. Oh my gosh, that's a perfect example.
I think that Beanie Mania might have been one of my guilty pleasures. Yeah. I really liked that.
We all watched that together, right?
That was so good.
Collecting Beanie Babies.
My thing was, my basement is a gold mine.
So good.
Nobody will ever get into our Fort
Knox. And then the following week, Shelly comes, here I have these. And she's got all the McDonald's ones. I'm like, I'm even fucking richer.
Yeah. I go,
we need to get an alarm system in our house.
If anybody needs some Beanie Babies they want to buy for overpriced price-wise, we'll even sign them.
We'll sign
the little tie tag. So just let me know which one you want. We have them all.
Okay, I'm not going to get... I'm going back there.
Yeah.
Culty stuff. Yeah. Did you guys watch Twin Flames?
No.
Guilty, guilty, guilty pleasure. Watch it.
Twin Flames. Okay, good. Write that down, honey.
It's terrible. It's awful. They're ruining people's lives actively, but I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop myself. I'm curious to see what you guys think after it. I want to know, do you have any more, Daryl? Because I think I know yours. The guiltiest pleasure. Your favorite documentary of all time. It's a reenactment one.
Mm.
A dramatic reenactment of a true story.
Wow, she knows me better than I know myself.
Me too.
That Dirt.
That was a great one.
The first scene is a squirt in the dirt.
Yeah.
It was filthy.
The best thing is to read the book of The Dirt. It's great. But Tommy Lee, he's explaining that he's dating this girl that can squirt across the room.
Yep.
And
not with her mouth.
No. Uh-uh. Yeah. With her clam. But everybody comes into the room and they're all to watch it. Yeah.
Wow.
That happened.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that great? I'm sure her mom is proud.
Well, she probably made a buck or two. I don't know.
All right. Well, that is our really long-winded talk about documentaries, which I thought was really fun.
No, it was great talk. Yeah.
I'm going to watch some Twin Flames. Rewatch The Tiger King. Who knows?
Yeah.
And I'll watch it with Shelley so we can watch it for the next 6 years. We will be back with What You Talking About.
Woo-hoo. Oh, shit.
Hey, welcome back, witches. We are at the segment of the show called Witcha Talking About, where we talk about whatever the hell we want, and you listen to it, and you don't complain about it, and you like it, mm-hmm. and you respond with compliments and praise.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa, what you talking about?
So, you guys, I know that you can never get enough of cicadas.
Oh, Lisa.
Oh.
That sounds so correct.
You've been asking me, what's going on with the cicadas? And I'm like,
cicadas, what you need to know, eh?
Are sex-crazed zombies on speed.
Oh, here we go again.
Still,
because scientists are tracking the bug and trying to control the supersized fungus. Okay, so with their bulging red eyes and their alien-like mating sounds, periodical cicadas can seem scary and weird enough.
Well, they pee on you, you said.
Right. There's so much, you guys. So here's the thing. You know what I'm going to do? This is really long. So I'm just going to give you a little synopsis.
You're going to summarize.
Yes. So apparently, it's one... So because it's kind of going, like, it's eating this fungus, and it's going cuckoo now. These cicadas are going cuckoo.
Brains are cuckoo. Yeah.
They are turning into speed, like almost a methy kind of thing.
Hey, our producers.
Yes.
Our cicadas.
Because we are still sponsored by meth.
Because they're eating this weird fungus, and it's making an amphetamine, the drug called speed, in a critter where it takes over. So, people are, like... Scientists are eating it to see if it makes you high.
Why do people need to get high in many weird ways? Yeah,
come on, scientists.
So when the bugs eat this fungus, it makes them hypersexual.
Oh,
wait a minute.
And they start looking to spread this parasite as a sexually transmitted
humans?
Disease. No, the cicadas.
Oh, yeah.
They're in a zombie-like stage and completely in the mercy at the mercy of the fungus. They eat the fungus and their brain goes cuckoo pants. So then
and then they run into a bunch of lady frogs and everybody freaks out.
And the lady
out.
Frogs go, and just lay in their bed. So anyways, I'm trying to paraphrase this because this is really, really, really
There's
long.
A lot of good information in here. You say
yes. Yes.
So here's the thing. So then the scientists are like, well, if they're eating the fungus and getting all high and shit, let's eat them and
I
see
tell
if you,
you
can get
is
high.
Right. Here.
Right. And then at the end of this, it says, hold on, because it said that he ate it and it basically didn't taste very good.
Well, no, it tastes like shitty bug.
Yeah, and it didn't really get him high.
Oh, shucks.
It's more, the skin is psychedelic like magic mushrooms. Sometimes people, even experts, mix up the amphetamine that infects 17 to 13-year-old cichlid, produced with more of a trippy compound than that of the annual bugs. So if you find the older ones, you're going to trip a little bit more.
Okay.
Yes. But, oh, man, it was so bitter. That's what the guy said. Explaining that he immediately rinsed out his mouth. It tasted like something you would consider poisonous.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
And it probably was.
It probably was.
And
what
they
is
didn't,
these guys?
Yeah. And they didn't get high on top of it. So the cichlids. See, I keep saying
cicadas.
That. Cicadas.
Cicada.
Get high from the fungus, become zombies, pop out their little eyes, want to fuck everything, and then the...
I liked your little move there.
And then the scientists were like, hey, let's cut out the middle.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Were these scientists from the school of Jeff Spicoli or what?
I was going to ask if they were hippies.
Good God.
Not sure. But anyways, it didn't work. And so now the cicadas are, I mean, unless you found a set 13 to 17 year old one.
Oh, you got to get the old one.
Right.
Yeah.
And
you got to check their IDs.
Right.
They got nicer
legs.
Can
you drive? Can you see an R-rated movie? All right, we're going to eat you.
Hey, how you doing over there, cicada? How
right,
old are you?
That was from U.S. News, if you were wondering.
Oh, my
that
God.
That was very informative.
Thanks.
And I have a little song that'll help you remember how to pronounce it.
Okay.
If you like horny cicadas.
Cicada.
The making love in the rain.
Cicada, cicada.
Right.
Yep.
You say cicada.
You eat pizza, picata.
But that's what she's talking about.
Yeah,
wow.
So the debate among scientists is if the fungus infects more cicadas deep in the soil coming out of the ground after 13 to 17 years, or if it affects the newly hatched nymphs on the way underground.
Did you
for
say
more than
nymph?
Let's just say that, nymphs. That's a baby. The baby cicada is called a nymph.
They don't even have a chance yet
to
be a
nymph. You know why? Because they're horny.
That's right.
They don't even have a chance yet, but okay.
So much.
Nymphomania.
Yeah. Okay, that's all.
Lisa, that was a whole lot of... Lotta.
Yeah. I just knew that you guys were wondering.
Those cicadas are really fascinating.
They
That's
are. And
incredible.
I have a picture of their big buggy eyes now, because they just used to look like normal bugs, but now they're all...
Yeah. No, because
like
they're so horny.
Right.
Well, and they're zombie horny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes
zombie
a difference.
I want to do it in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, what are you talking about?
Mine's just a repeat of the show today, and it's going to be a repeat a little bit later. But like I said, guys, I have never been more impressed with anything learning about Jon Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And it's seriously, I was always the heavy metal rock guy, thrash guy, and to see the dedication and everything that this guy put into one band, and that's why they're so successful and everything, just really kind of blew my mind away. So with that being said, a lot of my friends that'll hear this will be like, but you always used to make fun of Bon Jovi. I'm like, yeah, but watch this. It'll change your mind and make you more appreciative of the man that he is and the music that he's made. And I just really hope, seriously, that he gets it back one more time, because if he does get his voice back one more time, I definitely will. I seen him in concert once when he was younger, when he was, you know, I would love to see him again.
That would be great.
Yeah.
There's a documentary that turned you around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. I have just one question that I guess the
cicada.
Cicada. So the one thing that I thought about through the whole documentary was the keyboardist, Dave, I think his name is. Why didn't they ever let the poor guy sit down? I kept
what is
thinking
up with
of that.
That?
He stood.
That's why he's still the skinniest and in the best health.
It just seems like a hunchback. Like he's always like this. Oh. Like I'm going to play the organ.
They should give him a guitar.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing because, you know, how he's had that curly hair all the time. Then at one point he thought, some dreads will look better.
Dreads did look better.
Dreads looked
a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked really actually kind of cute. But he has that kind of Jewish curl.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. So.
What?
It's the truth. Right. I mean, not the Jewish curl.
No, like the Orthodox Jew thing, like the doinies.
Yeah.
What was the streaming service that was on again?
That was Hulu.
Hulu. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I'm going to check it out.
Catch it on Hulu.
Yeah. You watch some Twin Flames, I'll watch some Bon Jovi.
It is pretty long. Like I said, we thought it was maybe one or two. It's five. So, but it had to tell a story, the full-fledged story. And I mean,
it's a long story.
It didn't happen overnight for him, but yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And the story between him and Doc McGee is great.
I know. I heard that there's a connection there. I got to check it out.
Yeah.
Creepy. It's all united with the Tiger King and et cetera. So there is no segue for what I am about to tell you.
Okay.
A hunter in Northern California stumbled upon a queer sight. A queer sight, an unusual sight while out in the Cache Creek wilderness. A donkey that had seemingly been abducted by a herd of elk. The video he posted on his Instagram channel marks the first update on the status of Diesel, a local donkey separated from its owners back in 2019. When out hiking with Dave Dury, the local of Clear Lake, something spooked Diesel, sending him running off into the woods. Drury and his wife Terry looked all over the nearby territory on foot, in their car, and even with drones, but could not locate their beloved donkey.
Aww.
Over the years, the family was always saddened at the mention of their lost family member, believing that he didn't have the minerals to survive in the wild. I don't know if that's another word for cojones, but maybe he actually needs minerals. Now, 5 years later, triathlon and hunter Max Fennell posted a video on Instagram of a healthy adult donkey right in the middle of a herd of cow elk. I bumped into a herd of elk that have adopted a donkey. I can't get over seeing it, and I'm amazed that the donkey looks happy and healthy, he wrote alongside the video. The discovery made its way through the airwaves to Terry and Dave, who said it was amazing to see him. He's living his best life. Mystery said he's happy, he's healthy, and it was just a relief. So then he let him stay with his elk friend.
Would you like to buy a donkey?
It's by far the best
I've bought. Is he part elky?
That is from the Good News Network. And you go, Diesel.
There you go.
Nice. I like his name, Diesel.
Isn't that cool, Diesel the
donkey? That's a good name for
it. I wonder if the elks call him that or if they changed his name.
They call him Baby D. What up, D?
I don't know. Okay, let's come back with some wow.
Okay.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh yeah, he's the man witch. Oh yeah.
Wow, 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 wow.
That's pretty good. I didn't know to jump in or how.
You could have.
Was that like the newsroom?
Yeah.
Or was it like at a jazz club?
Oh, it could have been either. I also thought it might be like
Morse code?
Morse code.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know right now.
That was my Morse code.
Hey, are you trying to get into my gig over here?
Yeah, totally. Want to hear mine? It's even better.
You know when I say that?
We'll do that on the Aliens show.
Okay.
Or the mashed potatoes show.
There you go.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have dueling witches against
one. Tell us which wow you like better.
Who's wowing better?
Who's wowing who? Great. So this is a part of the show where we each talk about our personal well of wisdom. Mine is true crime. Lisa's is animals. Daryl's is music. Who would like to go first today?
You look like you're pretty fired up over there, Shells.
I'm ready.
She's got her book all ready to go.
True crime rule number 27. And thank you for my new notebook, by the way.
Uh-huh. It's really beautiful. She's in the now with us, guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the now. Okay, true crime rule number 27. Know your victim's voice and writing style.
Ooh.
Asshole murderers who think they are smarter than everyone else impersonate their victims by sending loved ones texts from the victim's phones, often in an inaccurate tone. There are computers, smartphone profilers, and analysts that pick up on specific styles when loved ones raise a red flag. For instance, people of a certain age may have two spaces after a sentence in an email, and younger people are more informal, casual, less specific, or grammatically correct. There was, do you guys remember that case with the lady that poisoned her whole family one at a time and then tried to kill her daughter, mm-hmm. who then she framed, she wrote a fake suicide letter from the daughter saying, hey, sorry, I killed everybody, even though the daughter didn't.
Yeah.
And anyway, they caught this lady because of her writing style. For whatever reason, she killed everybody with antifreeze,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't know that's what it was called. She had always called it antifreeze. And then she wrote in her daughter's quote-unquote suicide letter, I was the one that used the antifreeze to blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And that mm-hmm. was admissible in court. Bitch is in jail. I hate her.
She's dumb, too.
She's dumb.
Sometimes people should just go to jail because they're dumb.
Exactly. You're too dumb to walk around in freedom.
Right. She had one daughter that lived.
Yes.
And of course, that's one she was trying to frame. But
uh-huh.
Didn't she kill her husband, too?
Yeah. I think one of the
that's
sons.
Who she started uh-huh. out with because he's like, I don't feel good. She goes, well, here's some
Gatorade. Antifreeze.
Oh, my God. Antifreeze. That's so funny. Well, that's from trailer. Antifreeze.
Yeah. I think that is really fascinating as far as like it used to be handwriting analysis, mm-hmm. which I don't know if that's admissible in court or not. I think it's admissible on Pawn Stars because they like they use it to see if it's a correct autograph
that's
or
truly
legitimate
a real
or whatever.
One.
But so anyway, they use the text and email styles of writing, whether it be a ransom note or whatever, to see if it would actually match.
I wonder what yours look like to me.
What?
I'm going to have to look at our text. Like, you know, if I could see...
ransom letters.
But if I pretended to be Lisa, you would be like, Lisa doesn't text like that.
Because I put dot, dot, dot after a lot of things. Like that's
and I'm a dasher.
Yeah, and I'll be like...
And I'm a prancer.
I'm a vixen.
I'm a twinkle toes. But, you know, those things are... It would be interesting in my opinion to study. But so they use that to catch predators of minors, too, because people that are pedophiles or whatever and trying to catch little people, they... You know, underage people. It's not funny at all.
When she said minors...
Got little hands.
When she said minors, I'm like, it's all dusty and cold looking when they write...
When they're catching the coal miner's daughter, they might use an attractive email address.
Are they in Butcher Holler?
There's a pitch at every end of the sentence instead of an explanation mark.
Yes, if you're trying to catch a coal miner's daughter, you're like, big hair Loretta Lynn at butcherholler.edu.
Oh, yeah. No, this is not something to laugh at. This is a great subject.
No,
it is.
So anyway, they would use appropriate email addresses and Insta handles and all that other one. So profilers can generally tell if the victim wrote their own message before they were killed. Beyond handwriting analysis, style and tone were used to catch the Unabomber from his manifesto. He was turned in by his own brother. So anyway, your style and tone is almost like a fingerprint. Of course, it's not forensically that way, but it's cool to analyze. And so think about that before you do something gross and dumb. Mm-hmm. And antifree has a Z at the end. Mm-hmm. Well, a Z and an E. So that is my role.
That's funny.
Awesome.
Next.
Zero. I'll go. And once again, guys, I'm going to end it today
with Bon Jovi.
with just a little Bon Jovi news.
The original title of this was We Didn't Start the Fire, and now it's...
We're halfway there.
Whoa! Living on a prayer.
Perfect.
Take my hand.
And we'll make it, I swear.
There's no more riding over there. Okay.
I'm spitty.
Billboard ranked Bon Jovi as the 45th greatest artist of all times, achieving 6 number one albums on the Billboard 200 and 4 number one hits on the Billboard 100. Peace out with Bon Jovi.
Top 45 of all time, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Daryl has replaced Nickelback as his guilty pleasure with Bon Jovi.
I have gone out and downloaded every Bon Jovi song, and I'm getting hair
Justin
plugs.
Timberlake
stop it.
Got a DWAI or whatever the fuck happened there. Well, Daryl would like to now have John Bon Jovi as his new man crush.
Justin Timberlake of NSYNC fame?
The thing of it is,
he's more in my age group anyway.
That's true. You can't go for those.
Yeah, John Bon Jovi was on the cover of AARP last month.
Really?
Yes. No joke.
He's so...
He was still looking fine.
You get that magazine still?
Oh.
You still have it. Daryl's going to keep it by his bedside.
You still get it.
Oh, I'm going to lick a toad with that guy.
Oh, my gosh. A cicada? I'm going to eat a cicada. Okay. Mine is, again, another life-changing things for all you dog owners. Why do dogs sigh?
Why do they?
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Okay, according to an article from the American Kennel Club, sighs can be translated into both positive and negative emotions. The AKC explained, when a sigh is combined with a half-closed eye, it communicates pleasure. Mm-hmm. With a full open eye, it communicates disappointment. Such as saying, I guess I'm not going to you're not going to play with me.
Mm.
So, basically, a sigh with dogs is pretty much the same as it is with humans.
Yeah, they're kind of over you.
That is groundbreaking.
This is so funny.
Thank you.
I just took a picture of Fiona while you were reading this. Look.
And she was sighing.
Look, she's like, oh, God.
So bored.
Can this be so over already?
Yep, so now she knows, now you know, and we are all dumber for having to have listened to that.
Lisa, that was very informative.
I like
Thank
it, though.
Thank you.
I know, when I look at her and she goes...
Yep. Bye! I want to give a little commercial for ourselves. Daryl and I are going to be doing a vendor's event at Creative Cove in Idaho Springs.
Awesome.
It's going to be a huge event. They already have 40 vendors, and it's apparently if the fifth annual one. It's really big. It's right on the river. It should be really fun, and it's going to be the 27th and the 28th of July. So sorry, yeah, July.
July.
Great.
You got a lot of time to think
Saturday,
about it.
Saturday, Sunday.
We'll
hear more about it, but this is the first one I want to say. Come visit us and see all the different vendors. High Maintenance Art is going to be there as well. And I think it should be lots and lots of fun. So tell all your friends.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. After you do that, stay witchy, my friends.
And stay bitchy.